You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, DC? Welcome back to Locked On Wizards. I'm Anthony Citadino alongside SB Nation's Bullets Forever writer Ben Mehich. We are your hosts covering all things Wizards. We have an injury update coming up, which will have us all questioning the six-man position for the Wizards, and then we'll get into regular season predictions for the opener. But first, this episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today, using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana. 10 design masters have each produced a unique, beautiful diamond ring launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. What's up, DC? We're coming at you from the Locked On Network at Locked On Wizards. Go subscribe to the show right now. Shoot us a follow on Twitter at Locked On Wizards. We have a ton to get into tonight. Benjo, what's up, brother? How we living?
Doing pretty good, man. We got a lot to get into. You're right. We, as typical Wizards, right before the season begins, they sneak an injury in there, right? We had the infamous John Wall knee injuries, the infamous Okafor injury that kept them out for years. And of course, they had to sneak another one in this year with Rui Hachimura. He's out 3 weeks with conjunctivitis, the common folk, that's pink eye. He's coming off a relatively impressive showing in preseason. But he really showed a newfound aggression and a willingness to shoot the three, which he didn't do much last season. And he was expected to play a major role this year, Anthony, probably a third option on the team.
Right, right.
You know, on any given night. So I wanted to throw it back to you. What does his loss mean for the Wizards?
Well, right now it's the four spot, right, we're looking at. I mean, where do they go? Do they start Davis Bertans? I mean, this throws a big wrench in, you know, Scott Brooks' plans right now. So, I mean, will this lead to switching up the lineups throughout, you know, the beginning, like first 20 games? I mean, do you think there's going to be a set starting four, or do you think they're going to like switch it up?
Well, earlier today, Scott Brooks said that they're going to try and replace Rui Hachimura by committee. And what that tells me is he kind of doesn't want to start Bertans because, I mean, look, he's probably their third most important player on the roster. And in that case, it's pretty clear that he should be starting. But for some reason, he doesn't want to commit to that, which I think is pretty interesting because I think he really relies on Bertans coming off the bench and giving the team the much-needed scoring boost that they need, because other teams have guys like Dennis Schroeder who come in and give you buckets, right? Or Jamal Crawford-type player. Or even in years past, the Wizards had similar players that kind of can get hot and score in bursts. They don't really have that player this year, and I think they're relying on Bertans to give that sort of contribution for them. So it'll be really interesting to see how they fill that position. To me, I think it's pretty clear Denny Avdija is going to be starting and that four. It might go to Anthony Gill. He started for them in preseason, and I think that's another more evidence that shows that Scott Brooks isn't really committed to starting Bertans for the reasons I just mentioned. But
right.
I don't know. I guess what do you think should, like, is there an answer on the roster right now? Should they start Bertans? To me, it seems like they should, but.
Yeah, right. I mean, it seems like Bertans has been kind of this off the bench guy who will give you, you know, that, I mean, they'll keep him in there for those starter minutes at, you know, in crunch time. So, you know, a lot of coaches do that with players. Like, you know, if you look at Harden's career early on, I mean, he was always coming off the bench in OKC, but he was always in there in crunch time. Bertans, I don't think that Scott wants to start him from everything that we've asked him from you know, all the pressures that we've seen, everything that he's been asked about, you know, Davis. I think you're absolutely right, Ben. He wants that extra spark off the bench. And I love that you're throwing Anthony Gill out there. Big question mark leading into the season. Anthony Gill, they sign him for $2.4 million for two seasons. you know, everything guaranteed, no player option, no team option. Ben, any expectations for Anthony Gill, the 28-year-old who's just coming out of Europe?
Yeah, 28-year-old rookie, you don't see that very often. And I think that's the thing. They gave him guaranteed money for 2 years, like you said, because they think he can come in and contribute. And he did that in Russia. Granted, obviously, the level of play in Russia isn't even comparable to the NBA. But in college, I don't believe he took 2 3-point shots the entire career in college. And in Russia, he became a very serviceable 3-point shooter. And I think that's the sort of role they envision him to play in the NBA, the sort of stretch forward, traditional stretch forward player. He's very physical. He does a great job moving without the ball, cutting to the basket. And I think they also love his sort of personality. He's a guy who grinds really hard. I mean, look, he made it to the NBA playing from Russia, right? But we didn't really see much from him in preseason. To be honest with you, I'm not sure there was a memorable moment in which he was involved, which is kind of disappointing because he does have kind of an NBA-ready game. And he didn't really flash much of that in the preseason. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle his role. Because, like, you're right. I don't think they anticipated having to use him. But with Rui out 3 weeks, I mean, you can only play Bertans so many minutes. And they don't really have another traditional power forward on the roster.
Yeah. And, right, we are of the understanding that Denny is most likely going to get this 3 spot. And now that the 4 spot's up in the air starting-wise, I mean, that – Scott still has not made a decision on the main starter for the 3. So as he, you know, he's still going with, you know, how fluid that position really is with Isak, you know, Denny and Troy Brown. Those guys thrown into the rotation. I mean, do you think Denny, I mean, he's 6'9". Do you think he's going to get minutes at the 4?
That's, I mean, look, last episode we talked about how Scott Brooks showed some element of creativity for really the first time in his career as a Wizards head coach last game, playing 3 guard lineups. I think you'll see more of that this season where they'll play Denny. And I think he's obviously not a short power forward, but he doesn't play like a traditional power forward. He's more of a stretch forward type guy, a player who can distribute his best asset. It's probably his court vision for a player his size. So mm-hmm. they have the potential mm-hmm. to play some really interesting lineups. If they go 3 guards with Denny and Thomas Bryant, it's a really, really fast lineup that I think Scott Brooks wants to utilize this year. And they want to play fast, get up and down. That's one of the reasons why they got Russell Westbrook in the first place. So I don't think it's a complete loss with Rui gone. Obviously, it's a hole that will be needed to be filled. But I don't think it's as big of a loss as it would be if, say, you know, Bradley Beal or Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will see. Rui is out for 3 weeks. We will surely miss him, but he'll be back in the lineup in no time. As we change it up to talk more about the season ahead, we're going to take our first break here. Are we ready for some football? College football heads into the bowl season, and there are some big matchups this weekend. NFL regular season is finishing up with the playoff picture becoming clearer. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Betting on the Washington Wizards doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe on Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's transition from Rui's injury. And I think, we talked a little bit about Davis Bertans and the role that we expected in the play this year. Being that sixth man type player. And I think he would have really been in contention for the sixth man of the year if he had the season that we expected him to have. Now that he's might start, might not, I expect him to start for what that's worth. Who's going to take on that sixth man role? Is it that big of a hit that they really don't have one? Is there someone on the roster that you think can slide in and
kind of earn a role even when Rui gets back, just by virtue of having played more minutes with him out?
So with Rui out, and the question mark surrounding Davis, and if he's starting, if he's not, the sixth man role, in my mind, I think he could be someone new at any night, really. I mean, if Davis is starting, I mean, like, you never know. I mean, Troy Brown could be like the first man off the bench. I mean, you know, Howell Neto could be the first man off the bench, you know, if Russ gets into foul trouble, who knows why ever, you know, Scott's, you know, subbing, but there's a lot of guys. Ish Smith could be, you know, the first guy subbed off the bench. I mean, there really is a lot of guys that could go into that role, but if there's, I'm not seeing a clear cut six man. I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, we've both been watching pretty closely. I mean, have you seen anyone, you think?
And I think this is kind of a continuation of our discussion from last podcast, when we mentioned how Denny Avdija had stood out from every other player on that roster, especially in his position with Troy Brown, Isak Bonga, and we mentioned Jerome Robinson even. Avdija stood out, and I think he earned that starting position. And now with Rui out, the players we just mentioned, the Troy Browns of the world, Isak Bonga, Jerome Robinson, they have another opportunity to really separate themselves. And it's really a rare opportunity, because not many of those come around in the NBA. For most of these guys, preseason is all you get. We didn't have a summer league this year, so you had three preseason games to really earn minutes. And none of them really did. I mean, they all looked okay, but none of them really looked like they had made significant strides from the season prior. I think now they have another chance to do that. If Troy Brown is really going to crack the rotation and play significant minutes, this is his chance to do so. If Isak Bonga is going to do that, this is his chance to do so. Sure. And I think it'll really be an indictment on all of these players. I understand they're still young, still in their early 20s, still have a ton of potential and will develop and seem to have roles in the NBA going forward. But you can't have those three players on the roster for the rest of their days, right? At some point, you have to cut the fat. And one of these players has got to go at some point. I'm not saying it'll happen this season, but one player I think could really make an impact is Jerome Robinson. And we saw some of that in preseason. He's one of those microwave type players, right? You can put him in the rotation, put him in the lineup, and you know what he's going to give you. He's going to shoot. Whether he makes it or misses is the question, but he's going to shoot. Sometimes you don't get that with Troy Brown and Isak Bonga. These guys are really hesitant when they get the ball in their hands. And Jerome Robinson, that's not the case at all. He made a really, really sweet layup, probably one of the best finishes in the preseason.
Saw that. Beautiful.
Really nice. I mean, he's a really talented player. There's a reason why the Wizards were high on him pre-draft in 2018. Right. The draft they actually took Troy Brown, and they were really high on him coming out of Boston College. And they were lucky enough to get him for Isaiah Thomas, who really wasn't doing much in Washington. Right. So they took a flyer on him, and I think this is a player to watch, because Scott Brooks loves players with confidence, and he's a guy who has confidence. So it'll be really interesting. This is another opportunity for him to, you know, step up and contribute.
Absolutely. And yeah, just, you know, just like you said, Jerome Robinson, Tommy Shepard made a great move. I can't express it enough. We've talked about this a lot in the past, but after they made the move, I mean, with as much as I loved Isaiah Thomas, I still love Isaiah Thomas. Absolutely. I mean, he's a great player, but I mean, for NBA purposes, for an NBA team, it's just smart move. Absolutely. You know, but for what it's worth, I do think that Isak Bonga is getting much more aggressive on the offensive end. It in preseason, it really looked like it. I mean, not by the numbers, but if you watch the games, which we did, and you saw how he did. He was starting to slash, you know, through the lane. Maybe he wasn't making those layups, and maybe he wasn't knocking on those shots, but you know, he was, you know. Oh, you know, when he was getting open for three, he was taking those shots. When he had a lane, he was, you know, he was driving, taking the contact. And, you know, if it doesn't go in, it doesn't go in. Like, we get all that. Like, he's definitely out there for, you know, and he, for his, you know, defensive abilities, I would probably say probably the best defender on the team in my mind.
That's the one question with him, because if he did have a good 3-point shot, he'd probably be starting, right? Because you need a defensive
100%, 100%.
He'd be starting, but with him, it's always a question, like, can he develop that 3-point shot?
Bro, if he had a shot and he defends the way he does, he'd have a huge contract.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, we've seen John Wall get 3-and-D players paid. Martell Webster, God bless him. Trevor Ariza, God bless him. Even Jared Dudley to an extent. I mean, all these guys got
right,
really
right.
big contracts playing with John Wall. And obviously, he's not here anymore, but
that just goes to show, if you're a capable defender and you're able to hit open threes, that's all you need to do to get a big contract. And Isak Bonga has the potential to do that.
I mean, nowadays, 100%. Look who we – I mean, in the past, what, like half hour, we just saw, Markelle Fultz. He just got paid. Derek
no
White.
Slander. No Markelle slander, though.
No slander at all. For what he is, he got 50 mil. He got paid. That's a good chunk of change. Derek White just got paid too for the Spurs, 73 mil.
That makes Davis Bertans' contract look like pennies.
Davis got what, 80?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, dude, in my mind, Davis earns it. I mean, if he continues to keep shooting the ball like he is, I mean, that's. He's got a lot of length, super tall. Like we're talking about, if Isak had that, if he had a shot, he'd get paid like that at 100%.
I'm excited about it because I think he's a guy that works hard enough to develop that shot. And hopefully throughout the season, we'll get a chance to see whether or not he has, because that could really give the Wizards a kind of a cherry on top, right? If he's playing well and Denny Avdija has a 19-year-old rookie to play as well as Denny Avdija has, then you have another player in their early 20s and Bonga contributing. I mean, we can't forget how the Wizards got this guy, right? They were throw-ins with the Anthony Davis Lakers trade.
Lakers traded
Mo Wagner, Isak Bonga, and Jamaria Jones to the Wizards for nothing, essentially. So it'll be awesome. If Tommy Shepard swings that deal and all these players end up contributing, if Jerome Robinson ends up contributing too for the flyer they took on him, I think it's a testament to the job he's done in Washington. But
100%. He's done a great job.
Any further, Anthony, look, you know I'm a health conscious guy. Good I really time. Care about what I put in my body and what I eat. And I put Built Bar in my body for a reason, Anthony. It's whether you're looking to lose or maintain weight, you should give yourself the chance to indulge with a delicious treat. I mean, imagine dieting and just not eating anything good, right? How many days a week can you have a kale smoothie? Yikes. So my favorite flavor when I eat Built Bar is cookies and cream. And the crazy part about Built Bar is it's healthy, Anthony. It's low calorie, low sugar, and high protein, high fiber. You probably remember I was keto for a year and a half. And guess what? Built Bar was perfect for that diet. So Built Bar has reset the promo code for this launch, and you get a free cooler with the purchase while supplies last. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com.
Make sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast feed today. You'll find season preview episodes for each division with team breakdowns from local experts, waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back, DC. You're still Locked On Wizards here with Ben Mehesh and myself, Anthony Citadino. Let's transition now to the regular season opener tomorrow. Ben. We're going to Philly tomorrow.
And you know what about this really interesting, Anthony? They have a ruckus crowd, so we gotta understand how the Wizards are gonna respond to that.
right. Pre-COVID, yes. Pre-COVID, one of the most hostile environments you could go into. We're out of the bubble. We're back, traveling, to every arena around the country. First place we're going to Philly. Obviously, we want the fans there. The fans want to be there. That's, hopefully at some point this season, we could, they can make that happen. But, for right now, we'll just have to dig in, still watching from home, not complaining, hoping everyone's safe. But yeah, Ben, predictions for tomorrow. They're taking the Sixers. Embiid, Ben Simmons, new head coach, Doc Rivers. They made great acquisitions. In free agency, grab guys like Seth Curry. What do you think?
I'm a lot higher on you than most, I think. Or not a lot higher on you. Of course, I'm high on you, Anthony. I'm a lot higher on the Sixers than I think most people are.
Yes,
I
really not high, right?
We're not. I think they made some really solid additions. Things that probably don't put them over the top and make them a championship contender, per se. But I think could put them over the top in the sense that they have a good shot at making the Eastern Conference Finals this year. They needed shooting. They got it with Seth Curry. They got it with Danny Green. I think Matisse Thybulle is the guy who's going to come in and play big minutes for them this year. Shake Milton's another player who's really reliable. And I think Doc Rivers is a player or a coach, as I said last podcast, is a coach who's going to get through to these players for the first time in probably their careers, right? Just given the depth of this team and the fact that Rui's out, the Wizards are still trying to figure out their rotation. I think it's going to be hard, man. And if the Sixers are as good as I think they're going to be, this is going to be a really tough game for the Wizards. And I think And I think what's going to ultimately decide the outcome of this game and probably the outcome of the season is going to be how good are they going to be defensively, right? Is Thomas Bryant going to be able to step up and defend Joel Embiid? Are they going to have to rely on Robin Lopez more than they anticipate or really want to rely on? I'm just not sure. I mean, look, they had the worst defensive rating in the NBA last year. I know that things changed. Isaiah Thomas is gone. You insert Russell Westbrook. It's by virtue of having Thomas gone, you're going to be a better team.
100%, yes.
I just don't know. I mean, there's that question with the interior defense, Anthony. And I hope that you can answer this for me. But, like, do they have enough to guard players like Joel Embiid? I'm just not sure.
Oh, God. You know, I mean, first off, before I get into that, it still kills me how everyone kills my man, Isaiah Thomas. Everyone kills him about his defensive usage. It hurts my heart. It does. Isaiah, if you're ever listening, my man, I got your back. You know, I have a soft spot for him, man. Still, I hate hearing that. I see the numbers. I understand these, you know, factual numbers about him being the worst defensive basketball player of all time. I get all that. But does everyone got to bring it up when his name's brought up? Oh, it hurts. It does hurt me.
Wizards were historically one of the worst defensive teams ever last year, and honestly, I'm sorry, IT, but a large part is because of him, and that's why I'm interested. I mean, look, was it because of him? That's a question. I mean, they did get better once they traded him. Thomas Bryant seemed to get better just because he didn't have to, play catch up for Isaiah Thomas and pick up his mind or pick up his man every single time, right? I'm just not sure. Even with Isaiah gone, like, is Thomas Bryant going to be able to guard players like Joel Embiid?
That's the question, right? Right now. We have seen, so from what we've seen in training camp, practice, preseason, from Thomas Bryant, his shot blocking abilities are. Do you have any sort of comments on how it's changed from last season? Because I've seen a big difference.
Yeah, he's gotten more aggressive for sure, and he's looking for blocks. But I think there's more to defense than blocking shots. And
for sure,
Tom Whiteside would be the best defender in the NBA, but he's placed in the Sacramento Kings for a reason, right? I mean. That's the thing.
Great point.
Is he going to be able to effectively stop a player of Embiid's size and skill level? I'm just not sure. I mean, look, if he does, and the Wizards really think he can, they have a real belief that he can become one of the best centers in the NBA. And offensively, he's already there. I mean, he's one of the best shooting big men in the league. Energy-wise, efficiency-wise, already atop the league, right? But for him to become that next level, it's defense. And someone's got to anchor the team's defense. And the Wizards are hoping it'll be Thomas Bryant. He's got the energy. Does he have the quickness to defend screen and rolls? I don't know. We'll see.
That's just what it is. I mean, right now, it's looking like is he gonna shoot 40% from three?
It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, he's got a stroke. There's no doubt about it.
It was great watching him play. I mean, you know, his last game there. I mean, he went 50% from behind the arc. He had a great game, 22, you know, 7 rebounds, 7 for 12 from the floor overall. But yes, this question mark, the entire other side of the, you know, other side of the floor, how much will they rely on Robin Lopez? How many minutes do you see Robin Lopez getting in there at center? I mean,
if he's playing a lot of minutes, I think that's bad news for the Wizards, right? Because if he's playing a lot of minutes, that means Thomas Bryant isn't doing his job. Or he's playing extraordinary basketball, which I don't think we should expect from Robin Lopez at this point in his career.
So if
he plays more than like 20 minutes a game, I'd be shocked.
If Robin plays more than 20 minutes a game. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha. Then, I mean, but what about, you know, Mo Wagner? I mean, where does he fit into that equation?
Look, Scott Brooks, again, and kudos to him. He's trying. He's trying different things. He played Wagner with Thomas Bryant during the preseason. It didn't really work. They look kind of clunky together, and that's fine, right? They're two kind of traditional centers, or built like traditional centers at least, so it didn't really work. Mm-hmm. Neither of them are particularly fast.
Right.
Neither of them are particularly great defensively, as we touched on. But that's the thing. I mean, Wagner is a capable center. I think he led the league in charges last year, so he adds that element defensively. But again, he leaves a lot to be desired on all the other elements of defense, the pick and roll defense, the shot blocking and whatnot. And Robin Lopez, I think, is probably more serviceable and gives the Wizards more of what they need off the bench with the rebounding, with the shot blocking, than Wagner. So I think he's probably left out of the rotation, but it really depends. It depends. If Robin Lopez plays well, I mean, Wagner might just be their third string center, which isn't it's not the worst thing in the world to have a player of Wagner's caliber as a third string center.
Definitely not. And we will see how that all plays out tomorrow night for the Wizards. But Ben, before we really get into it, I want to hear your take on, you know, what's going to happen in the game. Do you have any big predictions for the game? Stat wise, you know, player wise, what's happening?
Yeah, I don't know if I have any big predictions at this point, right? Because I'm going to predict that Russell Westbrook has a triple-double, but that's not
okay.
Really
okay, cool.
Because he's literally averaged it 3 years. But yeah, look, he flirted with it already, kind of. He showed you a flash of that during his last preseason game, 8.7 rebounds in only 17 minutes. So if he's playing close to 30, he's already at a double-double. If he's sharing the court with Brad as often as we think he will, the assists will come. I think he'll give the team a triple double. I'm just not sure it'll be enough to win and overcome those sort of question marks that we talked about with defense. But what about you? And any sort of predictions from you?
You know, for tomorrow night, I really think that Denny is going to put the league on notice in his first NBA game. You know, we've seen him throughout training camp and preseason, these great, great spurts. Every time he gets the ball, he seems super, super energized. He doesn't waste any time. He's always getting his teammates involved, shooting. You know, if he's open, he's shooting it. You know, I mean, he's got a lane. You know, he's slashing. I do think that he's going to have a great game. I'll give my prediction for a stat line. I think I'll have, I'm going to go, I'll give my hot take. I think Denny's going to drop 20 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists.
Wow.
Yeah. I think he'll have that. We saw how great he rebounded in that last preseason game. He had 10 rebounds in less than 30 minutes. And if he starts, which I think we both think is he will start at the three. I think that he'll be absolutely fine doing that. For the overall game, I'm going to be optimistic. Wizards get the win. I think Russ and Brad are going to lead the way, while guys like Denny, Thomas Bryant, you know, are going to be huge, huge contributors. A lot of question marks still with Philly. You know, I get that they're like an automatic playoff team as always, but you know, I mean, what we've seen them in the playoffs last season. We saw them in the playoffs too, and they looked like an 8 seed. So I do think there's a lot of question marks. I think that this new duo in Russ and Brad can give the Sixers work. I got them over Philly. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't think they're going to be able to win just because I think there's so much to overcome defensively. But look, there was a guy, I forget his name, he covered the Washington football team, and he predicted they'd win every game. And before every game, he would say, like, the Washington football team's going to win this game, right? And I have a feeling you're going to do that this season, where the Wizards might go 72-0. But that's it for us today, DC. Thanks for tuning in. I'm signing off. My name is Ben Mahich. I'm here with Anthony Cittadino, as always. We have a lot of great shows coming up. Sneak preview. We have one of the greatest Washington Wizards of all time. He has agreed to come on the podcast, so stay tuned for that. And, of course, subscribe to the Lockdown Wizards podcast. Shoot us a follow on Twitter, at Lockdown Wizards. Anthony, anything else before we sign out?
DC, we love you. We appreciate you. Can't wait to rock with you again tomorrow.
And, of course, if Robin Lopez hits a three, you know what to do. Take a shot.